This is Robin.
Hi, family. I'm an addict, and my name is Robin. Can I tell y'all, I am some kind of nervous. I like to thank the God of my understanding for allowing me to be anywhere clean, not because everybody else does when they get up here, but because, you know, he does so much for me that I sometimes take him for granted. I just want to, like, thank him. You know, the topic of this workshop is making healthy choices. And when they asked me to do it, right, I was, like, excited. They asked me back in January, and the committee took a risk with me because this is my area, and this is where I started my recovery process. And as I look around the room, I see some of the people that know me. And anybody that knows me knows at any given moment, on any given day, I'm subject to do or say anything. So when I tell y'all that they took a risk, they took a risk. Paul, I thank you and I love you. I want to say this too, like, if you're sitting in this room and if you're a part of this program and, like, you need to, like, give yourself a hand because you have made a healthy choice. And I say that because, you know, when I got here, I wasn't making no healthy choices, and my disease want me to tell y'all that I always do. Not. So I'm going to talk about, like, where I came from and, like, where I'm at today. I come from a place where children should be seen and not heard. I come from a place, like, where my mother was and still is an active alcoholic. She has the same disease that I do. I was physically abused, mentally abused, and sexually abused. And you know, I say that, and today I can say that with some ease. You know what I'm saying? Because I've worked on some shit up in here. And people be like, you know, after I share, they be like, you say that like it's just okay. It's okay today. I'm not going to walk around and say, oh, I was traumatized as a child. I'm just going to walk around and just be miserable. No. No. I've come to grips with that, and I've chose to forgive the people that did it to me. I know that they are sick just like I am. And I say that for anybody else in here that thinks you got to hold on to that. No, you ain't got to hold on to it today. I didn't get clean to be miserable. I was miserable for 14 years. God told me I could be happy, joyous, and free, and God damn it, that's what I'm about to do. You know what I'm saying? Man, oh man, oh man. As I look back on my childhood, you know, I just always, always wanted to fit somewhere. I got teased a lot because I was tall, I had big feet, skinny legs, a big butt, and I was flat-chested. So I got teased all the time, you know, and then my mother did things out in the open. You know, she would get drunk and fall out and be all on the porch cussing and screaming and that type of thing. And then I liked school. I liked the books, you know what I'm saying, because they took me outside of myself. I'm talking about early on the disease of addiction. And I got teased for, like, being a bookworm, you know, but I liked that because what happened was when I did good in school, the teachers, like, said, good job. You know what I mean? And all I ever wanted was for somebody to say, good job. So I got teased a lot, you know what I'm saying? And I always, always was just like trying to find something outside of myself to, you know, make me feel better. My first addiction was Newports. I got with a sister because, you know, she accepted me for who I was, right? She ain't, like, judge me or tease me, you know. And my sponsor tells me that those that judge don't matter and those that matter don't judge. So I really don't give a fuck what y'all think about me. And what happened was I got with the sister because she was cool. And she was, like, smoking these Newports. And that's when cigarettes was, like, a dollar, right? So we got, like, 50 cent going on. And I'm smoking, choking. Don't know what I'm doing, but she doing it, so I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about just trying to fit in. So one day she started smoking like some weed, right? And I said, well, what you gonna do with that? And she said, we gonna smoke it. I said, okay. you know, and I didn't know that I had the disease of addiction. I didn't know that, you know what I'm saying? So instantly, I became addicted. And you know what happened? Like, when I was smoking that weed, I felt good. Like, didn't nobody tease me. I didn't give a fuck if my mother whooped my ass breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You know what I'm saying? Because she did. But I was okay. It took me outside myself, and I thought that I was having a good time. I really, really did. But I wasn't. Somewhere along the line, like, you know, I started looking for something. The weed stopped working. You know what I'm saying? So I needed something else. So it, like, they started, like, going out with the little boys. You know what I'm saying? I was like, well, maybe let me do that too. But what happened was, like, early on, before I started dating the little boys, the little girls looked good to me. And I went with them too. I did them too, because I didn't know no better. You know what I'm saying? Look, I don't have no problem with standing up here today telling nobody that I am not gender specific. Understand that. And so I went, you know, I did what they did and that type of thing. But what happened was I met a little girl, and she was just like me. She was hurting just like me. And I began to, like, use her and manipulate her, right, because she would do what I wanted her to do. And then that stuff didn't feel good, so I said, well, I'm going to leave her alone. But I had been opened up, you know what I'm saying? I had been exposed to some other stuff. So I said, I don't really want to mess with that, because I don't know what it, you know, what I'm doing really with it, so I'm going to leave that alone. So I started getting with the little boys, and at, like, 14, I got pregnant. I was 5.5 months pregnant, did not have a clue, because I was a baby. You know what I'm saying? Didn't nobody tell me about periods? Didn't nobody tell me about, like, if you do it, you're going to get pregnant? You know what I'm saying? I didn't know nothing about that. He said it wouldn't hurt. I said, okay, let's go. And what happened was I became pregnant. And I said, okay, that's it. That's the ticket. Because when I have this baby, like, she or he will love me, and I can love it back. But y'all didn't tell me that she was going to come with some instructions. Like, she needed to be fed and clothed, and then she was born with colic, so she cried all the time. And, oh, hell no, I don't want that either. So I immediately gave her to my mother, because I didn't know. I ain't all right with that area. And what happened was my mother decided that she would do something different. She could raise my daughter better than she had raised us. And it was okay. You know what I mean? Fine. If you want to do it, fine. And I became real angry, because I told y'all that I came from, like, that physical, mental, sexual. So I was real, real angry. Didn't know what I was feeling. I had all this shit going on with me. I'm an addict, full blown. Didn't know it. Thought I was just getting high, being cool, that kind of thing. And they said, my mother said, you got some problems. You need to go. They was locking me down, you know, in these foster homes. And then they would take me to these little psychiatric evaluations. And they would be like, look at the little ink blots and tell us what you see. And I would be like, your mama. So they say, no, ain't nothing wrong with her. She's just an asshole. But for real, y'all, I was hurting and I was angry. You know, and I know that today anger is a secondary emotion. The first thing I feel is fear. And I will become angry and act a fool before I tell y'all that I'm really, really scared. You know what I'm saying? So they started putting me in foster homes and group homes and behavioral modification programs and that type of thing. You know, and I was just like, whatever. But I got tired of getting locked up. So at like 17, I decided I was going to run away. And I said, I'll be 18 in a minute, and ain't nobody going to be able to lock me down no more. But what happened was I met a man, right? And he was older, you know, and he was cool, I thought. And because I didn't have any skills, because I didn't know how to do anything, he took me in, and, you know, we lived in his mama's basement. And, you know, I thought I was, like, living life, because as a little girl, all I ever wanted was, like, for Prince Charming to just come and, like, take me and ride me off into the sunset and forever take care of me. That shit don't happen. So, you know, he taught me how to steal, because I ain't got no job, so I'm stealing his clothes, my clothes, his food, my food, and that type of thing. And, like, when I fall short, like, he start, like, beating my ass, right? And I'm talking about my thinking being distorted. And I thought that if I bled, he really loved me. You know what I'm saying? So I would do stuff so he could, like, stomp me. That kind of thing. Because I thought that, because that's where I come from. If you hurt me, if you beat me, then that shows me that you love me. So I thought that. You know what I'm saying? And at some point, I think it was after he broke some bones, I said, this ain't working. We might want to do something different. I decided to, like, come up out of that. I need to tell y'all, one of the healthiest choices I make today, I ain't taking no ass whoopings. If you hit me, I don't have no problem with giving you a number, whether it be across your chest or on your toe. You pick it. I ain't doing that today. So, you know, I turned like 18, right? And I'm like thinking I'm grown, you know. I'm living life. Ain't got a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. And I go back home because I had to, like, humble myself. And, you know, I've always wanted, like, me and that my mother to have that mother-daughter relationship. We are not the Huxtables. Understand me when I tell you that. So I went back home and tried to get that, and it didn't work. So, you know, one more time, I still got all this anger, this pain, these resentments, all that old shit, you know. And I went to another family member's house, and I remember my mother saying, I will never forget this day. She said, go play my lottery numbers. And I said, okay. This bitch just told me to get out, and she want me to go play her lottery numbers. So I did, and she hit. And what happened was, when I got to my other family member's house, they was using, right? And I didn't know. So they was like, we're going to get high tonight. And because, you know, I'm real, real green, I'm real naive. I flunked the street. I was like, okay. You know what I'm saying? But what I did know that they weren't smoking weed and drinking coolers. They was using that cocaine. So that was the first time, you know, and at 18, I took my first hit. And when the smoke cleared, I was 28. That motherfucker wasn't no joke. Some shit happened along the way. Trust me when I tell you that. I became pregnant, and I'm caught up, y'all, because I'm an addict. I suffer from a disease from where there is no known cure. One is too many, and 1,000 is never enough for me in anything I do. So, like, I got pregnant again, and, like, I remember going, and I was pregnant with these twins, and again, I still don't know, and they say, I'm in full-blown addiction. Keep up with me, y'all. I'm caught up, right? Like, I'm finding ways and means to get more, because the first time I took a hit, I was gone. Instantly. I like the way that shit made me feel. Whew! And if I tell you that I don't like it today, I'd be lying, because I love some crack cocaine. But I do not like the shit that come with it. And, you know, they told me, like, I went to the doctor, right? Because somebody said, like, we were sitting up in the attic one night, right? You know how we do. And I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm, like, hemorrhaging, right? But I can't stop because I'm caught up. And, you know, the good old dope things that I used to get high with, they say, you might want to do something about that blood that's dripping. You know what I'm saying? So I get up, and I, you know, go downstairs, change my clothes, and come back up. So finally, somebody said, you know, bitch, you blew. You need to go to the hospital. Because I had lost that much blood. I'm talking about being caught up, and health is not an issue. So I went to the hospital, and I remember them saying, are you an addict? I was offended. Who the fuck she think she talking to? Don't matter, I'm 98 pounds, bitch, blue. My skin's so black and ashy because from the rest. You know what I'm saying? So you no, I said no. I'm not. And I'm offended that you asked me that. I'm talking about crazy. The insanity of this disease. So, you know, I remember what she just said. This is what we're going to do. Just don't get high no more. Because you know when they take your blood and the test tube go bling, bling? You know, they know it's a problem. So she said, you know, you need to go home and you need to put your feet up because you are a high-risk pregnancy. And I was like, sure, okay, blah, 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 blah. So I get home, and because of that disease, I couldn't put my feet up, y'all. I couldn't stay in that bed because I had to, like, get high. I had to use because I didn't know who the baby daddies was because I was tricking. Tricking was early. It came early. It wasn't at the end for me. It started at the beginning because what happened was at, like, 14, like, my mother's ex-husband said, like, you can come and, like, sleep with me and I'll pay you and, like, give you some weed and that type of thing. So I was accustomed to tricking. You know what I'm saying? And I need to say this for somebody. From, like, 14 to, like, 28, I slept with that man. And I need to say from 14 to 18, I was a victim. But from 18 to 28, I was a fucking volunteer because I liked the way it made me feel. But I couldn't, like, look at my mother after knowing that I had been sleeping with her husband. So, you know, I had to keep using. So, you know, I go home and, you know, I go back to the hospital because I can't stop. I'm still using. And I go back and one of the twins had died. And they said, you know, we're going to have to take the other one because... But one can't live, you know, inside your womb with the other one dead. And I was like 5-6 months pregnant. But I couldn't stop. So the twins died. And I was fucked up. Because one more time God had blessed me with the gift of carrying a child. And I couldn't stop. So, you know, my grandmother, God bless the dead, she said, you know, you're going to kill yourself out there. And I remember, like, my grandmother, like, taking me, and she would, like, try to love me to the best of her ability because I come from a family where we don't love, we don't hug, we don't do none of that. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody hugging and kissing, telling you I love you. So when I got to Narcotics Anonymous and y'all was talking about y'all love me and y'all was hugging me, I was happy as a motherfucker. Thank you, God. Because all I ever wanted to do in my fourth step, I found out, was to, like, be loved, validated, wanted, needed. I'm talking about from the clothes that I wear to the way my hair is to the food that I ate. I just wanted somebody to, like, love me. So, you know, my grandmother, I remember saying to her, like, you know, you a mean-ass bitch, and I can't wait till you die. And, like, y'all, when I was locked down, she died, and I ain't had a chance to say I love you. And I ain't had a chance to say, I'm sorry. So if you got somebody in your life that is important to you, please let them know it. Please. Because there ain't nothing worse than when they close their eyes and you know you done wronged them and you ain't had a chance to say, I'm sorry. Because tomorrow ain't promised to none of us. So you know. I'm using, right? And I, at some point, I say, something's wrong. So I'm going to stop smoking that crack, because crack is the problem. That shit is what's fucking with me. So I'm going to stop doing that, and I'm going to just, like, use some other stuff. I'm talking about substitution. So I'm going to use some other stuff. That didn't work, so I had to go back. And what happened was I met another man, right? And, like, he looked good, smelled good, felt good, and I had to go. And I thought that he was my knight in shining armor, y'all. But I ain't tell y'all that he was riding a bike. But it's okay, because he was going to get a car. He was going to get one, you know. Because, see, I talk about, like, making unhealthy choices, too. Because, see, I'll go up under a rock and get me a man and change him. Dress him up. Feed him. Fatten him up. That kind of thing, just so he'll love me. So, you know, we get into this relationship, right? And I'm like, okay, this is the one. He is the one. And what happened was he went to jail. And I was doing the clothes boxes, the food boxes, you know. I'm in the visiting room, that type of thing. We're doing the conjugal visits. And we ain't had no conjugal visits. I made some. Yeah. And because he was the one. I'm talking about, like, just, like, accepting anything. Accepting the unacceptable. I don't want a motherfucker in jail. Brothers, nothing against you. I don't want nothing in jail today. So, you know, he come out, and, you know, I did this 3.5 year bit with him. I wrote it out, you know. And I'm young, like 20, 21, you know. So he come out, and what happened was he neglected to tell me that he went to jail for drugs. So when he come out, we begin to use together. And I'm going to tell y'all something. Ain't nothing worse than two addicts using together, talking about they love each other. You motherfuckers get the flips and talking about who slipped last. Whose money it was. And you smoke more than I did. But you love me. You know, and he also became abusive. You know what I'm saying? Because that disease don't care. You know what I'm saying? And he was whooping my ass. And again, I thought that he loved me. You know, so we in this thing. And I go from, like, because I had to, like, maintain my little apartment. So I got my little nice little home out in the, you know, suburbs. Because I like nice things. You know, and I come from the ghetto, and I made a promise to myself and God, I'm not living in the ghetto no more. I'm tired of motherfuckers knocking on my door talking about you got some sugar. I don't want to live like that today. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to walk in and I can't put my feet on the floor from the roaches, because that's where I come from. So, you know, like, my disease don't care. So, you know, when we using together, I found myself living in this nice little home till, like, at the end, I was, like, on the, like, third floor in the ghetto again in this one room. And I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. And anybody that know, it's cold a well digger's ass in Montana in Cleveland. And, like, we in this one little room with this one little heater because we can't go out in the other rooms because it's cold. But the disease don't care that it's cold because fuck a heater. We can't buy no heater. And, like, we ain't got no refrigerator, no stove. I'm talking about living like animals. And I'm, like, talking about, like, the progression of this thing. And I'm talking about, like, I had to, like, lay in the bed, like, wait for him to, like, bring us a plate from Sister So-and-so at the church so we can share it, because we can't buy no food, because food is not important. Yeah. So, you know, he said, he looked at me one day and he said, I think you got a problem. And because he older and he my man, I said, you know what, you right. What you want me to do, boo? Because, see, I need to say that I'm like that. You know, I get into relationships, right? And, like, if he praying in the corner to the left, I'm praying in the corner to the left. If he don't eat pork this week, I don't eat pork this week. You know what I'm saying? That's how I go. Whatever he do, I do. So he said, you might want to go get some help. I said, okay. So what happened was, you know, my good old Trick, my mother's ex-husband, I called him, and he live in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, right? And he said, you come on down here. He said, I'm going to go to treatment up here. You go to treatment down there, and we're going to get back together. That was in 1995. I still have not gotten back with that brother yet. Because my God had a different plan for me. And it's so strange because that brother, I'm talking about the seed being planted, because he took me to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I was sitting up in that meeting, y'all was raising y'all hands talking about y'all was addicts. I was like, they fucked up. And it's sad because I talked to that brother last night and he's still caught up in the grip. So I know that, like, all of us don't get this thing. So if you sitting here, please stay. Please. This is a gift. So, you know, I go to Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, and I said, well, I'm going to be all right. Now, I'm going to go down here. Don't nobody know me. I ain't going to smoke no crack. I'm going to live happily ever after. I smoke more down here than I did in my whole entire addiction. Because what happened was I brought me with me. I brought all that pain, all that misery, all that just stuff. And then, like, I'm sleeping in this corner trying to keep this man off me because I really, really don't want to sleep with him no more because I know it ain't right. And I know this is my mother's ex-husband, but the disease say, bitch, he got some crack. You better go. See, I keep it up front, right, because I'm a pool hoe. I will lay down and give you my body for a pool because my disease say I got to. I keep that shit right here. Right here. So, you know, I met another man. He was an African, because it's a whole bunch of, like in D.C., the metropolitan area, it's a whole bunch of just whatever. It's a oasis up in that camp. So he was looking good, feeling good, smelling good. He said all the right things, and like 6 weeks later, I moved in with him, didn't know him from Adam. But I thought that he would take care of me, because all I ever wanted was somebody to take care of me. But see, what happened was I forgot to ask him what he did. And what happened was he was a criminal. And my mother said, she came down to visit one time and she said, you know what, y'all going to jail. Because then nobody worked, but we was living large. But what happened was he told me on the first date, he said, I can handle anything that you do, just don't do no drugs. So I said, okay. I'm a full-blown addict caught up in the grip. And so, you know, I proceeded to go into this relationship living a lie. And it caught up with me. And my guy said he needed to go to jail. Some time elapsed, and what happened was, like, I got that little girl back that I told y'all about many years ago. So I got her back, because somewhere somebody said, you know, you need to take care of your kids and your responsibility. So I got her back, and, you know, he molested her. And what happened was, when she came to me and told me, I said, oh, girl, you need to act like that shit didn't hurt, because we need him. I'm talking about being caught up. By any means necessary, like I will sell my child. That's how I go. And when she said, my, but he did it, I said, but you're lying. So, you know, I had to use it at. Because in my heart and in my soul, I knew that he had did that to my baby. But because I had, like, lost the ability to, like, deal with my feelings and my emotions and, like, take care of me, I act like that shit didn't even happen. So, you know, God said, you know, I'm sick of you. I'm real sick of you. So he went to jail, and I found myself in an alley on Georgia and Kennedy doing things that I swore I would never do for the disease of addiction. Just for a hit. I'm talking about like sucking dick for an hour for some wax. If I offend you, oh well. Because this is my story. See, because I had to talk about this kind of shit because they told me if I forget where I came from, I'm destined to repeat that shit. And I ain't trying to go. That's a healthy choice. So, you know, I decided to, like, I was tired because I was beat down. And the literature talks about, like, when you're at the end of the road, and like in utter desperation, because that's where I was. And I decided to like come in here and like see what y'all was really working on. Because I was scared that I was going to die out there like that. And I came in here, you know, and I was a dressed up garbage can. Because I like nice things and I thought that if I dressed up, y'all really wouldn't like get to know who I was on the inside and that would like keep you up off me. But I remember my sponsor, thank God for sponsorship. She said, bitch, you ain't nothing but a dressed up garbage can. And Tanya, I just want to tell you I love you. Because, you know, like they told me to come in here and get with some women, and I didn't want to fuck with y'all. Because I couldn't manipulate y'all like I could do them brothers. It wasn't about no trust issues. You know, we talk that old bullshit. I don't get with the women because I don't trust them. No, I can't manipulate you as easy because we more alike than different, and you see through my shit before I get there. They told me this was an honest program, and I try to keep it real. So, you know, I came in here and I did some stuff, but you know what I would not do? I would not surrender. Because I thought that I was better than, I thought that I was a cut above, and all I ever wanted to do was be normal. Bitch, you are not normal. You suffer from the disease of addiction. And I thank God that I suffer from the disease of addiction because it allows me to get to know me and it allows me to, like, get better. Because there's a whole bunch of motherfuckers that don't know they suffer, and God knows they need a meeting. So it took me 2.5 years before I would finally surrender to this disease and, like, admit that my shit was, like, unmanageable and I was powerless. So I said, okay, I think y'all might have a point. So I came in here, and that was February 27th, 1998, and I have not found it necessary to use since then. And I don't say that for, like, no applause, right? I, like, say that because it is only by the grace, you people in this program, that I stand here. Because without y'all, there would be no me. I just got, like, my 5-minute cue. So I'm going to talk about, like, some stuff to go on, like, today. Like, that little girl that I told y'all about, that baby 18, like, she got, like, a full academic scholarship to Penn State. Temple and Duke. It's her choice. Because, like, y'all told me, like, to do some stuff when I got here, like, to allow her to be in her process and let her go, let her feel like she really want to feel, because she really, you wasn't there. How you going to get clean and decide you going to get your maternal instincts back? So, like, she turned 18 and she made a decision to move out, and I couldn't do nothing about it, right? Because, you know, I like to change people. I need to change you to fit the way I want you to fit, because if you don't do what I want you to do, if you don't say what I want you to say, if you don't act like I want you to act, I'm turning up the whole motherfucking playground. That's real. But God said it ain't so, because you ain't in control. So when she moved out, I had to, like, ball up in a fetal position and call y'all and tell y'all, oh, my baby gone. So I called my sponsor. She said, let her go. And I loved her enough to let her go. We don't have that perfect mother and daughter relationship, but I know that she loves me to the best of her ability, and I love her to the best of mine. Like, you know, like, some shit happened. Some shit has happened in recovery. My first year clean, I celebrated in a homeless shelter because y'all told me to make some healthy choices. And like that man that I told y'all about, I married him at 90 days clean. Crazy in the motherfucker, but I said I do. And I married him, and like and you know what I'm learning, that it ain't about like him, it's about me. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm talking about them relationships, I'm talking about don't get mad at him, be mad at your own motherfucking self, because you chose him to be your mate. So when he ain't paid the rent and I had to like go into that homeless shelter, I couldn't get mad at him, because I said I wanted him. So you know, like, y'all told me I couldn't get high no matter what. So like, somewhere along the line, I had to, like, have both my knees replaced. So I'm talking about living in a homeless shelter, leaving out that bitch 7 in the morning, can't come back till 7 at night, and cannot use. With a 14-year-old that I just got, don't have a clue who she is, on crutches in an ice storm, but I can't get high. I'm talking about going on in spite of. So, like, year number 2 come along, and they say, okay, you done have both your knees replaced. Now you need your ankle replaced, because I suffer from juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. Because what happened was I was born with it, but what triggered it was one of them sexual venereal diseases that I got when I was out there tricking. Talking about self-acceptance. So, you know, like, they had to replace the ankle. Y'all say, I still can't use. Y'all done gone fucking crazy. Because I don't like the way I feel, because I don't know what's going to be on the other side. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get through this. So y'all told me like getting to step two and just like go. Just being like, if you still ain't sure, work on over to step three and find you a God and you'll understand it. And he will carry you through it because he ain't gonna bring you to it unless he gonna bring you through it. So I had to hold on. And I'm here. And some other shit done happened because, you know, this is my area and they know me. They will say, she ain't smoking no crack, but she might do some extra shit. Because, see, I'm still, like, suffering from the disease where I want y'all to, like, love me, like me, that type of thing. So I, like, do some shit. And, like, right now, today, y'all, I need to free myself because I'm tired of being a criminal. I'm tired of scheming. I'm tired of conniving. I'm tired of manipulating and justifying that shit. Because it don't feel good no more. Because what happens is, when you come in here, you will get a conscience. And you will change with or without your permission. And shit will start to not feel good. And they told me, like, when it stops working, then you need to do something different. Like, last year, y'all, I became a certified substance abuse counselor. That's a healthy choice. The promise is freedom. That any addict can lose a desire to use. The message is hope. Like if ain't nobody told you that they love you today, I do. Because we more alike than different. So if you see me about to kill my motherfucking self, don't talk about me. Don't judge me. Help me. Because I ain't got nowhere else to go. I'm an addict for life. Thanks for letting me share.
Robin W. Montgomery County. Thank you. I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Cheryl.
Yes, sir.
My name is Cheryl and I'm an addict.
Yes,
hi, family, and through God's grace and his mercy, I was blessed to wake up this morning with another day clean. I want to thank Robin for sharing, and I want to thank the committee for also taking the risk to ask an addict like me to come here and share my experience, strength, and hope. And I'd like to thank my friends for traveling here with me to support me, making healthy choices. You know, I don't want to go all the way back to what it was like when I was growing up. I came up in a family with a mother and father. I didn't know nothing about dysfunctional. It was working. Both of my parents had an addiction. I didn't know no better. I came in recovery talking about I hated my mother. My dad was my best friend. I came in here with a lot of misinformation. First of all, I want to thank God for sponsorship. Because it is the heartbeat of the program. You know, my girlfriend is here today, and I remember going to her house one day to get high and her saying, I'm not going to do this anymore. She said she needed some help, and she was going to the rehab. And I said, you ain't as bad as I am, and I know I don't need no rehab. So why is you acting like that? I didn't know nothing about hitting bottoms in the literature and Narcotics Anonymous, because where I came from wasn't nobody talking about getting clean and staying clean. I could always get clean, I just never could stay clean. You know, so I made that phone call, and I called my girlfriend about a year later and said, I think I might want to go to the rehab. And her mate answered the phone, and he said, we'll be here when you get back. And I need to tell y'all that I didn't go away to treatment to learn how to stop using forever. I went to learn how to get high like my girlfriend did. She said $20 was it, and that's all she spent. And I don't give a what you said or what I did. She was not spending any more. So I thought that that was successfully using. I didn't know that I had the disease of addiction and she didn't. Because we need not get it twisted. Everybody that might indulge is not an addict. I need to remember, though, that I am. And I went to this hospital in my area, and I need to say it was one hospital not far from where I lived at, but I couldn't go there. Because I knew when the high wore off, I was leaving and going up the street and getting one more. So I remember a friend of mine taking me and dropping me off. And I'm going to tell y'all, he dropped me off so quick. I didn't have a second chance to say, you know what, I changed my mind, because that was always my story. I'm going to go to more. He took me there, and one of the best things I ever heard was I never had to feel that way again in life. That no matter what, I never had to use drugs again. And they told me a lot of stuff. And, you know, back then, I think when I went to treatment, they were saying like one out of 35 people in your group is going to stay. And, you know, I remember like the counselors telling me like, you grandiose. I thought they didn't like me because my clothes matched. I had on, you know, sweatsuit, sweatpants, and sneakers. And they was clean, and they was matching. And the people that I was in group with, the stories they was telling, that wasn't my story. So, you know, denial was still plaguing me, even in a treatment facility. And on any given day, denial still plagues me. When I choose not to take a look at the exact nature, I'm in denial, and I won't do it. You know, and they told me that I wasn't going to make it, you know, that I was going to be the addict that came back, and I needed to. And when you graduated, they said all this good stuff about you. And I remember saying, oh, Lord, I know they ain't going to talk nice about me. You know, but that was my thinking, because they saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. You know, one of the things that they saw in me was that I had determination. Now, this is why I stayed clean for the first year. They had said I was coming back. And the addicts in my area was taking bets. She will use. You know, I was very angry, extremely nasty, very unapproachable, did not like the women. They didn't like me either. And you know what I got in touch with as I continued to keep coming back? It wasn't that they didn't like me. I had a problem. I was chaotic. I was nasty. They was living happy, joyous, and free. And they ain't had time for me. But I thank God for the brothers in the fellowship, because that's my story. You know, I had a couple of home group members that I would share some stuff and say, and I dare anybody to come hug me. I don't want you to touch me. You know, crazy. And they would come and say, keep coming back. And even with keep coming back, the first time I heard that, I thought y'all was being smart. I will be back. That was my attitude. You know, but needless to say, I thank God that y'all told me to keep coming back. Matter of fact, some people told me to run back. And you know what? The program works, but you got to do some work. And staying clean must come first no matter what. You know, and I just need to tell y'all that there's been so much going on in my recovery. I'm still looking for the pink cloud. And on September the 17th, I'll celebrate 9 years clean, and I ain't seen the pink one yet. You know, people say, you can come around here and you don't got to do some work or some crazy stuff for the first years, you know, and it gets real, and it's been real since I walked in the door. You know, I came in here, I had been in a 22-year relationship. It was harder. I can talk about that. You know, and my story wasn't that I went with a whole lot of men. You know, I remember writing the four steps saying it wasn't that many. Because I had been with the same guy for 22 years. There was a lot of guys. And you know what? I'm still running into people and I say, oh, I know him from somewhere. And I can't remember and I don't want to say nothing. And I always want to say, I wonder if he was one of my students. That's the favorite line. You know, and I would celebrate getting keychains. And 30 days, I went back to visit him. All the way up to like 18 months. And I remember one of my sponsees driving me. And I said, drop me off over there. She said, you sure? I said, that's where I want to go. And she took me. And I need to tell y'all that that was the last time I went. Because it didn't feel good no more. And it didn't feel right. And I didn't want to be there. And he couldn't understand that. He was like, well, where do you think you're going? I was walking the street 4 o'clock in the morning, and I hadn't done that in 18 months. And I'm going to tell you something. If you was anything like me, I didn't have a problem walking from one end of town to the next. But that walk was the longest one I had ever taken. I lived 5 blocks away from him. And I remember the next day him calling saying, you're going to always be with me. And because he said that and the rebellious nature that I have, I made it a point never to be with him again. I want to say to the newcomer, anything that keeps you coming, just please keep coming. You know, because it was a guy that kept me coming in the beginning. I heard him. I was sitting in the back of the meeting. He shared. I said, I like him. I want to get with him. And I need to tell y'all that 8 years later, I'm still with him. And it was not an easy ride. But what I will say is that what I was ready for, he wasn't. And that didn't make him a bad person. It made him unavailable for what I wanted him for. But, you know, I thank God for that relationship. You know, a lot of people talk trash. Oh, look at him. He's with the newcomer. He's robbing her. He ain't this and he ain't that. They don't see the part I play. I was cooking, and I can cook. And I remember telling James Hicks, invite him over to your house and I'm going to fix some seafood lasagna. And he came. And I could see that he liked to eat. And my mother always said the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. She didn't tell me the rest of the story. She didn't tell me about dealing with the other women and the issues or whatever, whatever. You understand? She never told me that part. But I had made the decision to be with him. You know, in the beginning, I had met another guy too, and he liked me. And he's a real nice person. And I always said, I made the wrong decision. My sponsor said, we don't do 2 or 3 men in recovery. I said, they're just my friends. She said, we don't have them. You need to make a choice. So I made the choice. And as a result of the choice that I made, I have a best friend. I have a mate. I have everything that I'm looking for in this relationship other than being his wife just for today. And if it's God's will, that will happen too. You know, all my friends got married, right? And I'd have been the coordinator, the bridesmaid, the hostess. And this brother walked up to me and said, "Damn, ain't you tired of being the coordinator and the bridesmaids? When's you going to be the bride?" And for once, I was able to say, "In God's time and not Cheryl's." I don't want to force nothing that ain't good. You know, I don't want to be somewhere fronting like everything is perfect and inside I'm dying. And I see a whole lot of that going on where I live at. You know, I need to tell y'all, in 1983, I got shot in my back twice. One bullet severed the nerve and the other bullet shattered the spine, and they told me that I would never walk again. And that's a lie, too. I even didn't run. But I need to tell y'all that I'm really, really struggling right now. The addict that I got shot behind just came in Narcotics Anonymous. And I was in a meeting a couple of weeks ago. Let me just say this. He was here before, but we never crossed paths. I was meeting a sponsee at a meeting, and she cared enough about me to come out on the telephone. Thank God for them cell phones. She said, "You might not want to come here." I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "He's here." I said, "Thanks for sharing, and I'll see you when you get here." And because I never had to see his face, I really dealt with that, I thought. I wrote about it in 4. I talked about it in 5. There are some unaddressed issues. And I mean they're unaddressed. Because as long as I'm not confronted with the situation, I don't have to deal with it. And I understand that today God is going to give me on my plate what he needs to put on it when he feels it's time for me to deal with it. And it's his time for me to deal with it, and I don't want to. I'm sitting in the meeting, had been after dinner, had a wonderful dinner. I have a shopping addiction. Me and my mates talking about the shopping, the weight. I came into recovery around 105. Far from 105 now. You know. But let me tell you, I'm sitting in a meeting, I'm sharing, and the brother walks in the door. And I want to tell you that the program works when you need it to work. Because we can cause harm in this process. And yes, I am an experienced member of Narcotics Anonymous. And I've learned how to share without causing harm on most days. So I put my hand up, and in my gut is saying, "Get the ice pick, do something." I want him to hurt. I want him to feel what I'm feeling when I can't get up out the bed and walk. And he's staring at me, and he got a sick brother that's staring at me with him. You know, and I'm getting it from both ends. One's on that side, the other one's up front. And they like, because the brother's been in recovery for a while, y'all, and he knows my issue. You know, because every time I hurt, I share, and when I share, he gets jammed up. I said, "You didn't do it. Why is you carrying your brother's stuff?" "I just feel bad." I said, "You too." And, like, my mate was in the meeting, and he don't know nothing that's going on, right? And I'm so uncomfortable in this meeting, and I'm sharing and praying at the same time. I'm saying, "God, don't let me say the wrong thing." Because I don't know about none of y'all, but I know I can put some words together to hurt your feelings. And mean to do it. And will tell you, in a loving, caring manner, "I'm not sorry." And the boy was looking at me, and my insides was going crazy. But one of the things that I have to keep up front, Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. He's entitled to come in here and let this program save his too. I have to get with some acceptance that this boy is around. I don't wish active addiction on my worst enemy. I'm not going to leave Camden and run to Philly and up Burlington and out Cherry Hill somewhere to get my medicine, which is a meeting, based on him being in the room. I used in Camden, I live in Camden, and I'm recovering in Camden. And you know what, y'all? Some days might be a good day when I see his black ass, and others might not. My girlfriend said, well, maybe you should confront him. Hell no. I am not there. Well, suppose he confronts you. He need not to right now. I called my sponsor. And let me tell you, I left the meeting. I got in my man's car. He was like, what's wrong with you? He's there. That was him. You know, I'm telling him, right? We get back to the house. I can't even let him help me through it. I said, I need to go. I got to go home now. And see, I'm real good for that. Let me get my coat, and it's time to go. Still running. I left, and I went home, and I called my sponsor. She was asleep. And I got a sponsor that will wake up and talk to me. But, you know, I don't really know what to say because I'm feeling and I don't know what I'm feeling. I said, I'll get with you tomorrow. Going back to sleep. It was after midnight. MC, like, my network was asleep. They all get up and go to work in the morning. I'm the only one home, you know. And there were some feelings that I needed to deal with. And it's something about how God will put you in a place that don't nobody answer the phone, ain't nobody coming over, answering machines is picking up. I don't need to depend on the information that my sponsor's going to give me. I need to trust God. I need to trust that no matter what, he will not make me act like a fool and end up in the county jail. I need to trust that he will take that guy to our other meetings because we got enough in town that we don't have to be at the same one. I made a conscious decision last week not to share at a home group. Why? Because I know he makes that meeting regularly. And physically, I wasn't feeling well. And my friends will tell you when I'm not feeling well, my attitude shows. And I am not loving and caring, and I did not need to see that brother because harm would have been caused. But the program says any addict, not the addict Cheryl likes, any addict can come in this camp and find a new way of life. I really like to see him get clean and stay clean. He's been on the run for the last 18 years, either getting high or in jail. I want what this program has to offer for him, but I don't want him in my space right now. Narcotics Anonymous has been my space. Self-centered is kicking in. Don't you know that's my home group? And he need not come to my home group. That's what my thinking says. But my reality is he might come there. You know, I don't know where I'm going with it. I keep praying about it. I keep trusting that God's going to work it out because he's worked everything else out, you know. And I'm going to just hold on and report back to the group later. But y'all need to know right now I have no acceptance with sitting next to him talking about how you're living today. Give me a hug. I don't want no hugs. I'm not there. You know, there's some things, people, that's going to go on in your life here. I lost my mother, my father, and my job all in a six-month period. My father died Christmas Eve. My mother died Mother's Day. And June the 30th, my job told me after 17 years, we will not be bringing you back. And I didn't use. And when I tell you I didn't use nothing and nobody. I had to depend on a loving and caring God to pull me through. And y'all need to know, for the last 3 years, I did not work anywhere, and I had no income. I never missed the beat. The lights never went off. The phone continued to work. How about this part? I was in my apartment 8 months behind in the rent and didn't get put out. So when you are in the care of a God of your understanding, he will open up some doors and make a way out of nowhere. Because if you tell me, Cheryl, you need to put it on paper how it happened, I couldn't write the letter. I'm talking about them had two cars. Them been on the airplane a couple of times. You know, my daughter said, I ain't never seen nobody, ain't had no job, always at the mall or going somewhere. I said, me either, baby, but let's go. You know, and it's nothing but a blessing. I didn't turn no tricks, didn't tell no lies, a dope fiend like me. What? When I'm not feeling good about who and what I am and having some acceptance on just for the day, that's where I'm at. My mind starts wandering. I start looking for other people to validate who I am. I have some caretaking issues that I will take care of you and kick me to the curb. I won't even be able to walk, but I will come see about you and incapable of staying in the bed for me. I'm tired of living like that. God put my uncle on my plate. And I need to tell y'all that I watched my mother and father die. And I'm going to take care of my little uncle. And he's a nasty, nasty little somebody. God rest his soul. I buried him last month. And he was in a nursing home and they are taking me to court and they are trying to sue me for about $11,000. And they told me they was going to press criminal charges because they're mad because somebody in their office didn't do the job. And I need to tell y'all that I knew his check was supposed to be going to the nursing home. But I did what he told me to do. He said, spend that money. And I spent that money. And anyway, I saw fit, that's what he told me to do. I said, I had to get a lawyer. I paid him. I'm trusting God that he will work that out. Making healthy choices for this addict today is don't use nothing. I want to say to the newcomer in closing, what you see here, let it stay here, but you keep coming here. Don't you let nothing or nobody leave you, make you leave out of here. Because there is some stuff that's going to go on in your life. It's called life on life terms. And it's showing up whether you want it to show up or not. And if you got any clue, like I do, you will show up with it. Because if you don't, you will pay dearly. And it ain't nothing like feeling like crap in recovery. You ever been in recovery and feel like, you know, you did at the end of the road? I don't want those feelings either. So I'd like to thank the committee. I'd like to tell my cousin Judy, I love you. Hey, you know, my name got sent into the committee. She's a member of the committee, and she's seen my name on the paper all the way down here in Maryland and called me up and said, cuz, this is Judy, and it's God's will that you share, because I was not planning on doing this. You know, I'm going to keep coming back. I'm going to keep doing God's will in my life, because when I do Cheryl's will, it's painful. It's just not that bad to do God's will. Thanks for letting me share.